Today's Minnesota Reads is made possible by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street, online at fitgersbookstore.com. Our book this morning has a hugely long name, but it's just so wonderful. All you need to remember is Into the Nest. It's called Into the Nest, Intimate Views of the Courting, Parenting, and Family Lives of Familiar Birds. And the other way that you could describe it is Laura Erickson's new book. Laura's in the studio to talk about Into the Nest. This is absolutely gorgeous. Now, I noticed that it was published by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. You used to work for them for a time, and you still do some work for them on kind of an ad hoc basis. Did you come up with this idea, or did they?
No, it was Story Press, which is the actual publisher, and we did it in conjunction with the Cornell Lab. I was the author. We give two names for co-authors. Mari Reed was the photo editor, and the book is so laden with photos, many of which were done by Mari. She's a world-class photographer, though I must say I have 5 photos in that book.
I wondered about that because your photography is so amazing, and you have such a huge library of photographs available to you that I'm still waiting for the first book to come out written and photographed by Laura Erickson.
Well, someday.
Someday. Someday soon, I hope. This is so remarkable. And as I was kind of paging through this, I was loving the fact that it had so many birds that we're familiar with, of course, here in the Northland, in addition to robins and wrens and chickadees, blue jays, great blue herons. Killdeer. I was particularly interested in the pictures of killdeer because they are a species where we're trying to protect their habitat here in the Northland. And the whole idea is to try to make sure that their nests are undisturbed. And so there's a chapter on little baby killdeer, which is just a great addition, especially in light of what's going on here in the Northland. Why is their habitat, why does it need to be protected?
Well, killdeer are a plover. And overall, killdeer habitat is fine. They nest on people's driveways who live out, you know, in clover land and stuff. They're an upland bird. The bird we're most concerned about here is the piping plover. Those nest on open beaches and are extremely, their eggs blend in with the sand and little stones.
Do they ever?
And so, yeah, the piping plover eggs look a lot like killdeer eggs, and they're just on the ground. And so when people are walking, even if the people would never even think of stepping on one, they have no idea that that's what they're doing. And the little chicks are so tiny and fluffy. And, you know, when people are just running their dogs on a beach and not meaning any harm whatsoever, they can be trampling these poor little birds.
Trampling the eggs or the little birds, and they're really, really cute little things. And so that's why there are areas of the beaches around here that different groups are trying to build awareness and say to folks, please don't let your dog run, even though you want to let your dog run, just until the breeding season for the plovers is over.
Right.
One of the things that I remember learning from your program is I remembered that a precocial chick is a fluffy one, like a little chicken chick or a little goose chick or a little killdeer chick. Altricial babies, you had to remind me, are the little naked ones. Why are some birds precocial and other birds altricial?
It all depends on where they nest and what the parents feed them and various complications of life. Little woodpeckers, when they're precocial, they must stay in the egg longer because they have to go through more development before they hatch. And so it only makes sense for them to be precocial if they'll be safe in the nest, and then if the mother can lead them to food, which needs to be sort of on the ground because the babies will be developing and running around and needing to be fed before they can fly. And so altricial birds are ones that nest up in the trees, and precocial ones are the ones on the ground or in trees like baby wood ducks or baby bufflehead and goldeneye or hooded mergansers, and they have to jump out of the hole and make it to the ground, and they'll never, ever be able to get back into that nest until
they
can fly.
So once they're down, they're done with the nest, whole nest thing.
Right. And so then they have to follow the mother, and the mother takes them to food. But their food has to be on the ground or in the water where they can get it.
Now, baby eagles are precocial?
No, they're altricial. Okay. They have a lot of fuzz.
It was the fuzz that threw me off.
That's just insulation. And some songbirds, like baby pine siskins, have a shocking amount of fuzz. But so, they can't walk. They're rooted to, you know, the nest. They don't start walking around at first or, you know, getting close to the edge.
So when story books came to you and said, we want you to do a book about little baby birds, about the birds and the bees without the bees, were you like, oh, baby birds? Or were you like, oh, somebody wants me to write a book about birds again?
I was like, they wanted a photo book, and they wanted me to do the whole thing, and I don't have anywhere near the kinds of photos I would need for this kind of book with, you know, the mating behaviors, all the displays, the nests and eggs. Mari didn't even. So we had to, so I first off was thinking, who am I going to work with? And Mari, I knew from Ithaca. She lives there. And we had sort of become friends there. And her photography is just wonderful. And so I said I would do it if they could get her to be the photo editor.
Oh, fantastic.
And that was my original thought process. This was my eighth book. And I did another book with a four-story press with the Cornell Lab, the Birdwatching Answer Book, which I hardly ever see sold in stores in Duluth.
Hmm.
But nobody thinks of me as a local author, or few people do. So but that book was really fun, and I worked with this wonderful editor, Deb Burns, and we just developed a really good working relationship. So I was really excited to jump into this one for her, too.
Well, it's fantastic that you were able to have that kind of input into it. I've interviewed a number of authors whose books are illustrated, and they don't have any say at all. The book goes out to the illustrator, and the publishing house frequently picks the illustrator, and then the illustrator works completely cut off from the author. They do their own thing, and the author gets the same surprise as everybody else gets when they get an advanced copy of the book. So how wonderful that you were able to work with her and say, yeah, I'll do it if. You are working on another project right now. You're always under deadline for books coming up. Can you talk at all about what is next on the docket, or does it still have to be a secret?
No, it's out. The American Birding Association asked me to write their field guide to the birds of Minnesota. They have they're starting a project where they want to issue field guides for each state that will have. They're one for, I think, Colorado just had a couple hundred species in it, and I wanted mine to have every regular bird in Minnesota and a few of the rarities that, like the burrowing owl, which should be in Minnesota but is really dwindling because of loss of habitat in the prairie part of the state. So I talked them into letting me have 300 species.
Wow. Fantastic. So that's coming up. What's the other project?
And the other one is just a little primer for hawk identification while hawks are flying, and that's for Stackpole, which is the publisher who did my 101 Ways to Help Birds. And both of these came up and asked me, and it's so weird because there are so many top bird identification experts in Minnesota, and I've never considered myself a bird identification expert. My specialty, my understanding is more in behavior and conservation and all kinds of issues around what they need to survive. But I don't spend a lot of time talking about identification. Radio just doesn't lend itself to that sort of thing.
But boy, is that handbook going to be a handy one for, you know, people like brand new little bird watchers at Hawk Ridge, who have to just eavesdrop on other people's conversations to find out what it is they're looking at.
And that's what they actually wanted, was somebody who knows how to talk to beginners and has a track record of writing and getting projects done on time, though this one is not on time now. I'm blaming my heart attack, but
And of course, there is the time that you have to spend at KUMD. So you can blame us, too. We'll take it.
And with my new little bird dog.
As a matter of fact, yes. Laura, thanks so much for coming in today. It's always a treat to have you here in our studios.
It's fun to be here.
Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and also by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street. Online at FitgersBookstore.com.